Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got our good buddy Ted Fishman back on the show. Ted is a writer and a reporter on economic issues, especially in the area of China. He's the author of China Inc. Once upon a time, he was a trader on the Chicago commodities industry, and he decided that kind of a life was a little bit too hectic and a little too scary, and so he decided to become a business owner. And nothing scarier than that, right, folks? He's our good friend Ted Fishman. Welcome back to the show.
So glad to be with you, Jim. Good
morning. So, what is scarier, being on the commodities exchange, trading commodities every day, or being your own boss as a small business owner?
Well, I actually own my firm at the Mercantile
Exchange. Oh, so that was like double jeopardy, wasn't it?
So that was double jeopardy, too, because not only are you gambling yourself, but you're hiring a bunch of gamblers.
You're putting a bunch of drunken sailors out in the marketplace.
That might be just like me.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Do you ever wish you were doing that again?
I do. When the markets look like they're really busy and trading a lot, then I always think it would be fun, but I forget how my idea of that job changed when I had children and needed something reliable to pay for my mortgage and my house and everything. Of course, you know, I chose to be a writer, which is
Jim Rogers, the investor that you may know who I'm talking about. He's been on my show a few times. He lives in Asia now most of the time.
Yeah, so his kids can learn Chinese.
Exactly, that's exactly right. And so he says that materials are the key of the future. He says that the goods, materials, not so much manufacturer. He means, you know, commodities, basically. He sees that as being a big part of the future. What do you think?
Well, I think that when you have the world's labor supply doubling and you have hundreds of millions of people moving into the middle class, they're going to want things that are made from what's in the earth.
Yeah.
And
including food.
Including food.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has to be true. Of course, you could get rich or get broke depending on what week you take as advice.
That's exactly right. That's the challenge with commodities. Ted, one of the things you've been spending a lot of time on, of course, we've been the beneficiaries of your reporting on China now for a long time. You've been a member of our Brain Trust for several years. Talking about this, your book, China Inc., is outstanding. I still talk about it all the time, even when you're not here. I reference you and something you said in your book, telling people about it, because I think it's really an important one. But you've been spending a lot of time lately focusing on jobs, how we're going to get this job creation thing going. We got 10% unemployment. We got about 17 million people in America either unemployed or underemployed. That's a major drag on recovery, and you've been looking into what it's going to take to fix that, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. It's a lesson I learned in China, and it's a lesson I learned in the United States and around the world when people are looking at what to do to respond to globalization. And one of the journeys I've been taking repeatedly is to go to Rockford, Illinois, which...
All the way over there to Rockford.
All the way over there to Rockford.
From where you are in Chicago.
Well, it's very interesting. Rockford used to think of itself as anything but Chicago.
Yeah.
But in the current climate, it has to convince the world that it is part of a big metro area, that you can reach Chicago easily from there, that you can reach tens of millions of other people from there within a day's drive. And it has to figure out a way to put itself in the center. And one of the ways it's doing that is by going further and further afield itself. It's economic development people there. It's a mayor. It's big businesses. Travel. They have a good relationship with their ethnic brothers in Sweden. Rockford has an early Swedish history and has large Swedish population. They have global manufacturers, big and small, who do lots of business in China. So they use those connections to take their local people to China and try and create interest in their city across the ocean there. And I think one of the things that impresses me is that often, no matter how good a job our president does, no matter how Congress is talking about our economy overall to foreign governments or at high-level meetings, it's the local people in this country getting on planes, working the phones, having a strong sense of local boosterism and spirit.
That's something that's disconnected from Washington right now, it seems to me, Ted. And I'm going to get you to respond to that when we come back. That's our cliffhanger, folks. I'm going to see what Ted thinks about what I just said. I still say there's a disconnect between Washington. All the lip service you hear about Main Street and small business still isn't converting into policies that either help or at least get out of the way of small businesses creating jobs. Twintel, stay with us.
I can't imagine any in a white room with black curtains near the station.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out and using it to your advantage. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic. Under the Small Business Sun, we got something there for you at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Ted Fishman is with us, folks. He's the author of China Inc. He's a guy who's spending a lot of his days these days focusing on what's going on in with job creation in America and correctly, I think, determining that job creation in America has a lot to do, is directly connected to the fortunes of China and countries like that, India too. And Ted, when we went to the break, I think I had to cut you off. You were about to answer one of my questions, I think, on whether we have a clue. I think I asked you about the disconnect between Washington policymakers and what really needs to happen on Main Street.
Yeah, I think that is such a key question. There's this very high level dialogue in the United States about China. You know, what kind of threat are there? What are the big lessons we need to learn? You know, are we doomed? You know, is it game over for the United States? But then when you go down on the local level to states, to counties, to municipalities, to economic development authorities, they are having a very, very different conversation. They are saying, we have something to offer the world. We have all kinds of interesting and smart people here, and things are percolating. We need a way to kickstart those. Have your big geopolitical conversation. We want to do business. And they follow through with that, like the people in Rockford. They go to their sister cities. They have meetings. They talk to people in plants. They go to the university. They say, how can we bring your students here? Because students are a great connector. Mm-hmm. How can we get our students there so they can learn Chinese and service you?
Right.
We have smart people. We have ways to put them to work. We're not going, if we can help it, we're not going to pay too much attention to that big level dialogue that happens.
But then you got situation back to my public policy things. You got things like tariffs being put on tires with China. Mm-hmm. You got free trade agreements that are sitting, you know, lying fallow, ready to be signed that don't happen. And you know those other countries, and I'm not just talking about China. Those other countries can say, you know, you're wanting to do business with us here, but your government is not making it easy on us.
Well, almost always. Those big trade defenses are done at the behest of big companies and big interests that hurt small interests. So you take the tires or the steel tariffs.
And by the way, I want to remind people, when George Bush put his tariff on steel in 2003, I think it was, I smoked him for that because he protected $125,000 steel manufacturing jobs, but he hurt about 2 million steel handling jobs in America.
Absolutely. And also any mid-size or small shop that is in the metal forming business.
That's right. The same folks.
You buy some political credit when you do that. But in the long term, you create an economy that's going to get your party thrown out of office.
That's exactly right. So the Rockford people, and by the way, I have a relationship with the folks at the Rockford Chamber there, so I know the Rockford folks there a little bit, and I'm proud. Could they be used as a model for other communities to embrace the fact that as Friedman said, the world is flat?
Oh, they absolutely are. This is a manufacturing town which had two or three times the number of jobs in manufacturing.
Isn't Caterpillar
the
there?
What?
Is it Caterpillar there?
They're in Peoria.
That's right, Peoria.
But Rockefeller has a few industrial clusters that are very vibrant. You know, they make fasteners, they make material for the power industry, the aerospace industry, but they've been slammed. You know, it'd be hard to see them as a model today, but I wouldn't be surprised if you could see them as a model tomorrow.
Well, they haven't got it figured out, but they're trying. I think that's the model part right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. They're trying, and they believe so much in their place. And this is something you see when you go to China. You know, we think of it as this big mass of, you know, Han Chinese, you know, who are out to get us. But really, it is one town after another trying to beat the pants over the next town.
Yeah.
You know, and they're beating the pants by becoming the best they can at globalization. So how do you become better than your neighbor? You become better in the world, and you figure out ways to connect to your neighbor.
Right.
And that's what they're working on.
Well, and the thing is most of the time, I think a lot of us think of business, of international trade, as being all about the big guys trading. But the truth is that's changing. I mean, it's never always been about the big guys. I mean, 93% of all exporters in America are small business exporters.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me.
I think the volume is around a third. About a third of exports from America are from small businesses.
Well, if you make any kind of input into the industrial process, you can't live on America alone unless you're a defense contractor.
That's
and there's
right.
the Buy American thing. But if you feed global manufacturing, you better be a global provider.
You're 1 to 4 degrees of separation away from an international deal, aren't you?
Well, you sure are, and you're half a degree of separation away from an international competitor.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I'll tell you something else. I want to get a little plug in here for my buddies at the Department of Commerce. The U.S. Commercial Services, combined with the Ex-Im Bank for financing, are doing a wonderful job of training and facilitating small businesses doing business overseas right now, Ted. I don't know if you know that or not, but I promise you, your buddies at Rockford know about these guys.
Well, I think they're an indispensable resource, and they know about the problems businesses had before you get there.
Exactly. This is huge, folks. And you've been hearing me talk with our buddy Doug Barry and all the folks. I've traveled over there across the pond on their behalf before. I mean, this is good stuff. These Department of Commerce folks, that's export.gov, by the way, if you want to check them out. Quick break, Tintel, stay with me. I'll be right back. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Ted Fishman is our guest. He and I were talking about a mutual friend, Ken. But Ted is his name. Ted C. Fishman is the author of China, Inc. And give us the website, please, Ted.
ChinaInc-book.com.
All right. They can find your book there. They can find out more about what you're up to. And you got a new book coming out soon, right?
Yeah, well, in a little less than a year from now, I'll have the on the shelves the book that I'm just finishing up on how the changing of the median age of the world changes life for all of us. We have smaller families. We live longer.
Mm-hmm.
It changes everything from how we talk to our children to geopolitics.
Well, over the next year, I want you to join us and come back and give us a little bit of a peek into that book. I want to ask you a question about, you know, about the job summit that was conducted last week at the, I'm going to call it the so-called job summit.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it was a very good example of how to put one of those together. If the president needs a little help staging and scripting and casting these kinds of meetings, I wish he'd call me because I think I could do a better job, Ted. You know, there were too many people who were there who shouldn't have been there, who had no business there when it comes to creating jobs. And there were too many people who do create jobs who were not represented. So, Mike, here's my question. That to me, that the Jobs Creation Summit was a joke. So what do you think the Chinese think when they see us having those kind of that kind of a dysfunctional gathering on how to create jobs? What do you think they think about us? Does that make us look feckless?
Yeah, if they pay any attention.
I know. I'm probably presumptuous. That's even a worse answer, Ted. Because you're saying not only do they think we're feckless, they're indifferent toward our mere existence.
Well, just in all fairness, you know how many incredibly, deathly dull, nonsensical conferences I've been in China, and sit there and hear a bunch of people will never do anything, but then what happens in the lunchtime afterwards, you know, what's allowed to happen with people shaking hands with each other once you get them in the room, that's important. And then the government coming up to them and saying, that's a good idea, let's take a flyer on that and go for it. And
except
a lot of
that
it
this
is about,
conference, the people who would be networking after the conference would be the trade unions and liberal economists. Because that's who attended, primarily.
Well, what you need is people with business ideas who can get them done and people who can fund them.
And those people were not at that meeting.
And the big missing part of that meeting was the discussion of how are we going to get resources to small businesses who've had them taken away from them in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Lines of credit, reliable policies that you can start a business on so you don't think that the ground is changing under you all the time.
But the people in that meeting are creating that shifting sand.
Well, you know, you and I have talked about it before. You know, there sometimes the so-called better instincts of the largest companies in the United States, take Walmart, for example,
yeah,
to provide health care for everybody and so on, really are strategies to torpedo a smaller competition.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they can sound very friendly to a wide mass of people, but they end up being very, very unfriendly.
And that's the problem that we got, and that's one of the reasons why, another reason why small business should have been more represented. There were a handful, two or three, I think, small business owners there. God bless each and every one of them. I'm sure they did a great job representing their brothers and sisters, but they only represent one company. They don't represent any group of people. But in the minute or so we got left, Ted, wrap up your thoughts on job creation in America and as it compares to what's happening in China.
Well, we still have the most dynamic economy in the world, where people respond with good ideas to changing whims. We have a very, very slow-moving regulatory and policy environment right now, with a lot of uncertainty in it. What China has is it has a diehard commitment to its policy status quo, which is to keep money flowing to businesses with good ideas, get them going, and get them customers and markets, and it works very, very hard to connect those. I do think that even in Washington, the current administration, they know how important small businesses is, but they don't yet have down the nuts and bolts on how to facilitate the fortunes of small businesses. That has to be communicated from state and local governments who are going to bat for small businesses, who are putting their faith in small businesses because they've seen their big manufacturers collapse.
That's right. Absolutely.
And, you know, if we open that dialogue, it has to happen. And the problem is it's often a cross-party dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
You have people on both sides of the parties not really knowing what their parties really need, and they've got to start talking more pragmatically.
And that's only going to happen if we have a little bit of gridlock. We have more than one party in control of at least one of the houses up there. Hey, Ted, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure, Jim.
Ted Fishman, ladies and gentlemen. China Inc. is his book. ChinaInc-book.com is the website. Quick break. Actually, no, I'm gone for the day. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll see you then.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.